Thank you, team. Well, one's left of the team. Thank you. I have our, a week early, I have our, we're not praying this coming Friday, so don't think just because I'm bringing it up, because next Sunday is the 27th, but if you would like, you can pick up your 24/7 prayer sheet today. Like I have 10 of them available, and I didn't get a chance to cut these, but Jeff Allen, who's a really funny guy, is going to be at Stone Church on June 1st, and why I'm announcing this is because all of the proceeds end up going to Sunrise Outreach. And Sunrise feeds the homeless. They're really involved in making sure the homeless have shelter during the winter. And so all of the money that's raised, in other words, you go in there and you pay for your ticket, it's going to go to them. So it's going to a good cause. So if you'd like to go to that, I have, it's like double flyers that you can come pick up. So so has anyone here ever blown it? Well, let me put it this way. How long ago was it before you blew it? Yeah. Yesterday. Well, I'm right there with you with yesterday. Because yesterday I ran into a situation where I just let my thoughts run. And they were just running and running. And I'm thinking, I shouldn't think this way. You know, that's what you think. You know, I should probably bring my thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. And it's like I knew what to do, but I wouldn't do it. It's like I was saying, you know, but if I continue to think this way, then I can continue to stew in this, you know, this frustration or this, you know, it could be anger. For me, it was just more, I was feeling, what's the word? Almost like put out. And I was just letting that continue. I was letting that continue and fester. And it really kind of ended up ruining my day when it didn't need to. It really didn't need to. Now, I had to repent. I had to say, Lord, forgive me. This morning in my prayer time, I said, Lord, forgive me. I knew to do good, and I didn't do it. That was sin. And so that's not what I'm preaching on, but it's always a good thing to remember that we need to not just know the word, not just be able to quote the word, but really be doers of the word, where we live this life of faith and we're not just pretending to be Christians. Because it's easy to pretend to be a Christian, especially if you've been a Christian a long time. There's a Christian suit that you can put on. It's like, and when you leave, and I don't have to wear that anymore. But listen, well, that's the way some of us think. I was thinking that yesterday. I didn't want to put on Christ. I wanted to stay in my own misery. And misery, I guess, does love company. You're trying to make more people miserable when you're miserable. So if you would turn with me to the book of John, chapter 10. I was reading this a few days ago, about the beginning of the week, and something just struck me in my heart, like a revelation light bulb went off. And again, it was like you read the word, but do you read the word? You know, like need. That's a big difference. Meet all my needs. Well, what are my needs? Well, a new car, a new boat. It's like, you know, you can start rattling off a bunch of needs, right? But what about a need? That kind of puts things into perspective, doesn't it? He's going to meet my need. It's a good word. I say needs all the time. Thank you for that revelation. But I got a revelation. I received a revelation this week. And God's been doing this in me. And so it's like something I've been living, but I'm ready to live it more, because When you hear this word today, I believe you're going to be able to go out in faith and a new confidence of that what I talk about, you can do. That it's not just something that is in the Bible and maybe someone else did, and if God's grace comes or the right anointing or something like that, then you'll be able to do it. No, this that I'm going to talk about today is guaranteed. It's guaranteed. And Jesus guaranteed it. So how many knows when Jesus guarantees something, it's a contract. You can say, Lord, you said it. I'm going to believe it and now walk in it. And I believe we need to walk in this today, now more than ever than before. We need to have an understanding of what I'm going to talk about. You go, what are you talking about? It's like dangling the carrot. Let's read. John chapter 10. I'll start at verse 1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings them out, his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Verse 7 says, then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, to destroy. And I have come that they may have life, they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring. And they will hear my voice, and they will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Therefore there was a division among the Jews because of these sayings, and many of them said, he has a demon and he is mad. Why do you listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch, and the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you do not believe, because you are not my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my hand, out of the Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Lord, we thank you, God, that your word is true. Your word is alive. And God, that you can let your word go into our hearts and it does supernatural things. God, it shows us, Lord, our motivations, Lord. It reveals intentions of our heart, God. But Lord, it also feeds us, Lord. It gives us food, Lord. It gives us encouragement, Lord. It strengthens us, Lord. And it also gives us revelation. Lord, it brings light, brings illumination.
And Lord, I know you want to bring illumination today, Lord. I know you want to open up our hearts to receive a truth today, God, so that we walk in a new way. We have a greater understanding, Lord, of what it means to be led by you, Lord. I pray right now, God, that this word that I speak would be your word. I pray, God, that the verses that I use, Lord, would be the ones that you want. I pray, Lord, that the voice that they hear, God, is not my voice, but it's your voice. Holy Spirit, we yield and we submit to you right now. In Jesus' name, amen. So that's 30 verses, so I can say, so what's the title of my sermon? That'd be tough, wouldn't it? You know what it is? It's, You Can Hear God. Just a simple title, You Can Hear God. And all of you, if I said at the beginning of the service, can you guys hear God? You'd all raise your hand. But do we really believe it? Do we understand it? Do we realize that it's our destiny? It's our nature to hear God. You realize it's your nature to hear God? That it's not just something, some people say, well, you know, if you train yourself and you go through all these things, you know, and read the word for 20 years and be able to, you'll be able to hear God. Well, that's not what he says, does he? That's not what he says. Let's see what Jesus says about hearing him. Starting in verse 3. Now I'm going to use the Amplified when I use these three verses because I think it really kind of explains really well a little more in detail about what those words are and what they mean without me having to go into the Greek. But it says here in verse 3, the watchman opens the door for this man, that means Jesus, and the sheep listen to his voice and heed it, and he calls his own sheep by name and brings them or leads them out. He calls us by name. What does that mean to you? To me, when someone calls my name, it's a distinction. You know, if I was to call out Ken, it's like Ken goes, ah, he's turning around. It's like, but I mean, you look, right? So one thing that I believe about hearing the voice of God is it comes with, we know he's talking to us. It's not like we're going, was that God? I mean, I know sometimes it's hard, and we have to, you know, maybe pray a little bit and say, Lord, if that was you, speak again. But I believe we're coming into a day where it's going to be more distinct. That where it's going to be like, Mike, yes? And we'll be able to hear. How many want that? Where he calls your name, and then he speaks. Reminds me of Samuel. He's in bed, and he's just trying to get a good night's sleep, and he hears, Samuel. And he thinks Eli's calling him. So he runs to Eli and says, Eli, what do you need? I didn't call you. No, I heard your voice. You called me. No, Samuel, I didn't call you. So he goes, go back to bed. Quit waking me up. He's an old man. He probably needed his rest, right? So, but he said, I'm approaching there, okay? So anybody, and take no offense. If you do get offended, forgive quickly, but anyway. next few minutes, again, Samuel, and he goes back to Eli. You called me again. No, I didn't call you. And he does this three times. Finally, Eli, being a priest, figured it out, and he says, it must be the Lord calling you. Next time he calls you, say, here I am, Lord. I'm your servant. Speak. So when you hear his voice, what's a good thing to do? Say, speak. Not like you're talking to a dog, but say, Lord, I'm here, I'm your servant, speak to me. Because you can hear his voice. The New King James, I think, says this verse like this. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Now, this is an interesting part when Lord, you lead us out. Is it because we're not hearing your name because we're not ready to be led out? Wait a minute. Is it that we are so busy living our own lives with no intention to go and do anything that you would speak to us that we're not really hearing your voice? I was listening to a sermon by Francis Chan, and it was just recently he was talking at Westmont College. And something like major radical has happened to him. And he left a church of, I don't know, it's like several thousand in Simi Valley, and just basically said, Lord, I'm going to go do what you want me to do. He traveled the world and basically, you know, went to missionaries all over the world and heard their testimonies, did ministry with them. And then he went back to San Francisco, and everybody wondered, well, what's he going to do? Is he going to start a church or anything? Well, he kind of let in on what he's doing. He's knocking on doors in San Francisco. And he was talking about in this message he was giving, how we all pray for God to do something like we did today. God, we want you to move, you know. And he was talking about when you know, in the Bible it talks about great earthquakes and shaking. Yeah, God, we want you to shake this place. But is it to shake the place just so we can all go, ooh, God, shake the place. Isn't that cool? I mean, it shook in here. It's like, we can bring people here. This is the place where it shakes. It's like, I mean, that's great, but what does it accomplish? If you read in the Bible, when it shook, it's because they were being led out to do things. They were shaken in Acts 4 because they were then filled with boldness. And why were they praying? To be filled with boldness, to go preach the word. So I think so many of us want to hear his voice. So many of us want to hear him say, Mike, and have him speak to us. But why does he do it? To lead us out. Now, lots of us are here today, and probably we've had opportunities to share our faith with people at work and stuff like that. But I believe that the day that we're in is when we're to say, Lord, I want to hear your voice. And it may mean to walk four blocks down the street, take a right, take a left, go to house 321, knock on the door, and ask for Joyce. Or ask for Bob. And they're going to open the door, and you're going to speak a word of the Lord because you heard from him. See, it'd be nice to hear from God. It's like, you know, and we do. We read his word. We hear from him. We hear all the good news. But I believe the voice that he wants to speak to us is it so that we can accomplish the Great Commission. That's to reach this lost and dying world. It's wonderful to hear from God. Like, you know, it's like, I love you, and that's assuring, and we need to hear that. But how many times do we need to hear that ourselves? That he loves us. And he proves his love for us. He gives us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. Is that not true? He does. Even though we may go through trials and struggles and all those things that come against us, he loves us. And it seems like we always need to come up here and a lot of times be reassured that he loves us. We are like sheep a lot of times, aren't we? Sheep, I guess, aren't too intelligent. But he leads us out. I believe he wants to have us go to new places in him. And I believe we're going to have to hear his voice to go to new places. Did you hear me? You're going to have to hear his voice to go to new places. You can say, you know what? I'm gonna, you know, just go and start handing out tracts. And you could. You could just start handing out tracts and you start giving them away. And this is how I'm going to preach the gospel. Or you could go stand on a corner and you know, and yell in a megaphone. And you could preach the gospel that way. You know, or you could start being a traveling minister and start preaching the gospel that way. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But I believe that we're in a day when we can hear his voice in such a way that we could be at work and the Lord could speak to us and let us know that our coworker just went through something. And we're not waiting for them to come to us. We can go to them and say, is there something going on? And they say, yeah, is it? Says, well, you know, I don't mean to be intrusive, but I really feel that God shared with me that you're going through this. And, you know, their mouth drop open and you share with them what they're going through. And you're saying, I believe God revealed this to me, not just so that you'd think I was cool or something, but he revealed this to me so he could touch your life, to show you that he loves you so much that he would tell me what's going on. See, we can hear God. Now, I'm here to tell you that I did not plan any of this. So where he took it, that was him. So I'm telling you right now, he wants to lead us out. He wants to grab our hand and lead us by the Spirit with his own voice, though. We can hear his voice. That means that word voice is like when it was talking about the voice of one crying in the wilderness. It was a distinct voice. That's the kind of voice that God wants to speak to us with. That Samuel voice. He wants us to know that he's speaking to us. That we're not going, oh, is that you, God? And I believe that we've been wanting to hear God's voice so we can just know his will for our life. And the farther ahead, the more satisfied we'll be. You know, if he says, man, this is my will for your life the next 10 years, wow. And we can go, man, I feel really comfortable now. I know what the next 10 years is like. And you know what you do? You end up just kind of coasting. There's no reason to seek God. You know what the next 10 years is like. Did Jesus say, don't take any concern for tomorrow? Did he say that? Some people say, well, don't worry about tomorrow. I can still plan out tomorrow. Why? Why make all these plans that may never happen? When today he may have such an event for you that it's a life changer. And you get so concerned about tomorrow, you miss the life changer because you didn't hear his voice. Here's another verse. This is verse 16 in the Amplified. And I have other sheep beside these. They are not of this fold. I must bring and impel those also, and they will listen to my voice and heed my call. And so there will be, they will become one flock under one shepherd. So they will hear my voice and they will heed my call. The attribute, I believe, of being a sheep of God is heeding his call. So I think there's many people out there who are called, but few get chosen because those don't heed the call. Many are called, but few are chosen. Why? Because they don't listen to what he said and then respond with it with an act of faith. How many believe that we're moving into perilous times? We'll need to hear God's voice. We'll need to know what he's saying, maybe to save our life. But I believe that that's not the main reason for hearing his voice. The main reason for hearing his voice is to expand his kingdom. He leaves the 99 to go after the one. See, that's his nature. So many of us think, well, God just wants to just have personal relationship with me. Yes, he does. But it's so that you will help him get that one. So are you saying he ignores me after he gets me? No, he doesn't ignore you. He loves you with an everlasting love. But his love is no different from when you were saved to when you were... But he doesn't have you before you're saved. And when he has you, now his heart is to get more. God's heart is to basically continue to bring them in. He's thankful. He rejoices. All of heaven rejoices over you when you come. But all of heaven's not rejoicing over you when you go to church. Let that sink in. All of heaven's not rejoicing over you because you go and read your Bible in the morning. All of heaven's not rejoicing over you because you fasted 40 days. The next time you get to hear heaven rejoice and experience that is when you take that same experience of salvation and you give it to someone else. And I believe that's why God puts that in our hearts. When someone gives their heart to the Lord, it's like, wow, what's going on here? It's like you get to be a little part of heaven's rejoicing right then. So he's talking here about you and I, if you're not Jewish. He's saying, I have other sheep, and they will listen to my voice. They will hear my voice also, and they will heed my call. They will respond in faith and follow what I say. John 10:27. I'm running out of time. He says here, the sheep that are my own hear and are listening to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. This is clearly what he says. My sheep. Say that with me. My sheep. Hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. What does that mean? We are his sheep, right? We hear his voice. You hear the voice of God. You can hear the voice of God, and you should hear the voice of God. But I'm telling you, if we just expect to hear the voice of God just to, lack of a term, just to bless us, there will be blessing. He'll speak things to us that will be blessing to our lives. But if we make it just about us, we close off hearing his voice all the time. But if we make it about his heart, and what is his heart? All men be saved. That all men come to repentance. That every single loved one that we have would come into his fold. That every single friend that we have influence with would come into his family. That is his heart. And I believe if we start listening to his voice about that, that we will hear him all the time, even about things in our lives every day. But we have to realize that we hear his voice for a reason. And they follow me. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Well, just read one of his days. Read about it. What did his days consisting of? Did it consist of punching a clock, going into work, and punching a clock, going out, and going home and watching, you know, ESPN or SportsCenter or whatever it is until you're tired and go? That's not Jesus' day. Jesus' day was to seek and save that which was lost. So how do we follow him? We seek and save that which was lost. It's pretty simple, but it's hard. Because it means to follow him means to take up your cross. To hear him means to take up your cross. To hear God means, okay, Lord, it's no longer my will, but it's your will be done. It's no longer my ways, it's your ways. And as you say that, and as you respond in obedience and heed his call as he speaks, Holy Spirit speaks, guess what? You'll hear him more. You'll hear him more. I believe as we start doing little steps of faith in obedience, we start following in obedience, that those steps will get bigger and bigger, and our strides will get farther and farther apart, and our pace will go faster and faster, and we'll find ourselves running for God and being used for him by his Spirit for his glory. But we have to hear his voice. And how do we hear his voice? We have to be ready to follow him. So what does that mean? That means, Lord, to hear your voice, I have to die. Why does it always come to that? I thought this was going to be a feel-good message. I was just going to say, you guys can hear his voice, you know? The Holy Spirit had something else in mind. No, to hear his voice, we have to die. To hear his voice, we have to be ready to set our life aside and follow him. That is good news. Thank you. Just I had a different, you know, spin on it, you know. That's why I always pray, Holy Spirit, you speak what you want to speak. And that's why I try to stay away from notes, because notes will lead me down a primrose path, and it'll sound good, smell good, but it could have dead man's bones inside of it. What we want is the truth, and the truth that's meant to set his people free in this day. Because if we keep going around the same mulberry bush, clapping our hands, playing kids' games, and not really realize that that bush is literally set there by Satan to keep us busy, looking like we're doing something for God, and really wasting our life with traditions of men, philosophies of men. Things that have crept into the body of Christ that literally have sucked the life out of his people to where they think it's all about one person being used by God, or maybe four or five, and that they're spectators in the game. That's a lie from the pit of hell, and the devil established that so that God's people would be bound and not realize who they are. And those days are done. Because the Holy Spirit says, you know what? The masquerade's over. I love my people too much, and I'm coming back so soon that I need my people to rise up as the army they are. And no longer sit back and watch others do things for God. And say, well, maybe my turn's coming up. No, your turn's tomorrow. As you say, Lord, what is my turn? What is it my task? What do you have for me to walk in today? Tomorrow may be your odyssey, your spiritual journey, where you have a significant day that you'll never be the same after that. You'll experience something in God that you will go, oh my, God is so alive. This faith is so real. It's not something I have to read about in the Bible. It's something I live. It's a reality that I experience. That's what faith is. Faith is a substance. We've made faith about, you know, what we do. No, faith is a substance of who God is that is a reality in our hearts. And because of that, we do mighty works for him. Now, your mighty work may be something simple to others. But for you, in your step of obedience, it sets a whole new stage for your life. It's like you became a part in a major production. Because God's kingdom is a major production. And we're not meant to watch the film. We're not meant to go in and, you know, see the movie. No, we're meant to be living epistles. We're meant to be the book that they make the movie about. See, there's a life for you, Tim, that you haven't even seen yet. And you're going to walk in a new way that you're literally going to start pinching yourself. You're gonna start saying, is this true? Is this really what faith is all about? And you're starting to experience a little bit, but it's coming. It's coming to where you no longer look at things black and white. You look at things with God's color, God's full perspective. You know, you're gonna say, wow, I never knew that there was so much depth in that. Even as you're reading the word right now, it's like you're going in and you're just drawing things out that you never saw there before. You agree? Yes. That could be for every single person here. This is not just for Tim. I just picked on him for a second. This is for every single one of you. And you know it. That's the whole thing. See, I'm not preaching to a bunch of people that I have to convince something. I'm speaking to hearts that are ready to hear. I'm speaking to fertile ground that God has prepared for this day. I'm speaking to ground that has been made for such a time as this, that the incorruptible seed that's being planted right now is going to produce a fruit that literally people are going to come and feast off you for the kingdom of God's sake. That's what's going on here. This isn't about us being able to hear God so that we can give some testimony in a Bible study that, you know, a $2 need was met. This is so that we can hear God, so that literally somebody is raised from the dead. Maybe spiritually, maybe physically, maybe both. I could keep preaching all day, so why don't you stand? I really could. Thank you, Jesus. I got all day. Praise God. I do too. And those days are coming. This may be the day. And I'm waiting for Nick to play the piano. Or no, not Nick. Okay, and Lynette. He tried to get up there last week and it didn't work. You know, we coined the phrase, and I actually shared with one brother today, that for such a time as this. But you are a for such a time as this generation. And I can't express it enough. I mean, I can't put it into words that would really describe who you are. You can't really see it right now. I mean, I feel like we're still kind of in the disciple stage, walking with Jesus. And he's starting to tell us things by the Spirit. And he's starting to say, the kingdom of darkness is not going to stand against my church I'm raising right now. And the disciples looked around and said, who's that? Who's he talking about? Peter, for a brief moment, had a revelation. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, that's right, Peter. You got it for a moment. And we're getting little moments here. But there was Pentecost, folks. And Jesus doesn't have to die again. What he's going to do, he's going to start living in us. This is a day for Christ to come alive. Some people said, I feel like a sleeping giant. That's what you are. Because Jesus in you, and the Spirit of God that's in you, is the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And as that quickens our mortal bodies, as that makes us alive, as we start hearing the voice of God in such a way, just as Ananias heard, you go to the street called Straight. You go there. Paul is waiting for you. I have blinded him. He's been blinded 3 days. I'm going to use him for my glory. I've shown him how much he's going to suffer for my namesake. And Ananias saying, Lord, 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 what do you mean? And you can hear them conversing. Well, he's being led out for a mission. And he knew it was God. And he knew he was speaking to him. That day's coming. When maybe you're going to be told to go talk to somebody and say, that person? They're going to beat me up. And he's already going to say, no, 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 no. I have done something in him that when you go, you're going to lay hands on him and you're going to set my brother free. He needs our hands and our feet. I don't know why he needs them, but he does. He's designed it. Now, yeah, he spoke to Paul. He was a great light, but he needed someone's hands to go and pray for Saul so he could be Paul. If we don't hear to go, how can we go? And if we're not ready to yield to what we hear, are we ever going to hear? No. We need hearts that have been pulverized. We do. Talks about being basically broken to pieces, powder. Why? So that he can fill us. And why does he want to fill us? So he can use us. You are a generation to be used. And some of you are going to feel used. But then when you feel that used, you're going to go, what? You know what, God? I give this to you. Because I'm just a vessel that's here to be used by you. And if that means it means to be beaten, ridiculed, scorned, whatsoever it is, Lord, if it's your will, let it be done. Speak to our hearts, God. And Lord, when you speak, let us be obedient. I don't care how ridiculous it is. I don't know how dangerous it is, God, when it's you speaking, God, let us be obedient. Lord, we do not want to play a game anymore. Lord, we do not want to hold our hand on the gun with our trigger finger twitching because we're afraid to pull it. God, let us pull the trigger. God, let us move into the miraculous. Let us see God's signs and wonders, Lord. God, that would give you, Lord, glory on the earth. Not make us great, make you great. Lord, you said, my sheep hear my voice. The distinct voice of you calling our name. God, I pray that we would hear that voice and be led out wherever you want us to go, whatever you want us to do. God, if it's another place, let it be another place, God. If it's another job, let it be another job. Whatever it is, God, if it's walking across the street, and shaking the hand of our neighbor, whatever it may be, as simple as it may be, and as complex and scared it may be, God, let us do it in obedience. God, help us realize the crucialness of the day that we live in. Let us realize, God, the generation that we are and the precious time that we have, God, to be used by you. Lord, I speak a blessing over your people right now, God. Lord, I pray, God, that they would have such ears to hear, God, that when you speak, Lord, it's so distinct. The sound is so strong, Lord, that they know heaven is speaking, that the Holy Spirit is speaking, God. Give them confidence, Lord, to be obedient, God. Give them Give them an ability, have courage, God, that goes beyond any fear of man, any fear of the outcome, Lord, that they trust you. Lord, that song says that I am my beloved's and he is mine. That's an intimate relationship you've designed for us, Lord. And your banner, God, your protection, your covering over us is love. God, what can we fear when love of God is in us? What we can't, we don't even have to fear death, God, when the love of God is in us. Lord, let your perfect love eradicate and remove every fear that is not of you, God. Let your word be true. Let God be true in us and every word of man a lie in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'm just going to invite anyone who really feels a confirmation in their heart that they're to hear the voice of God, that this word spoke to you, and you say, yep, you know, that is me. I am meant to hear the voice of God today. I'm meant to hear the voice of God today. I'm meant to start walking in a new obedience. I'm meant to start hearing him in such a way that I can be led out and be used for him, for his glory, by him, for his glory. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. See, these words don't just come that we can just, you know, say, oh, that's a great word. And if you think it's a great word, then give it to God, because I take no credit for it. Other than that, maybe I knew a verse or two to go to. So the word of the Lord's coming. As Revelation, one of the scriptures I didn't use, it says, hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Hear what the Spirit of God is saying. The Spirit of God is saying, I have need of you. That's what the Spirit of God is saying. I have need of you to hear me. I have need of you to be led by me. I have need of you to hear what I have to say in this hour, because I have a plan for your life. I have a divine destiny for you to walk in. I want to raise you up. I want to raise you up so that others see you and see the light in you and are drawn to you, not so that you can be great, but so that you can share me with them. Lord, I just thank you, God, for those that are standing up here, including myself, God. I want to hear you, Lord, like I've never heard you before. You know that's my prayer, that's my cry, Lord. And where that leads me, Lord, I will go. God, I pray, Lord, that as you show me, Lord, what to do, God, and as I, it's clear that you're speaking to me, God, that I would walk it out in obedience, God. As a family, Lord, we would walk it out in obedience, God. And Lord, that you would be glorified in our lives, Lord, that you would be exalted, Lord, that your results would come, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that no weapon formed against us will prosper here. No lie of the enemy is going to have success. Your way will be done. Your kingdom will come. Your plans will be fulfilled. And yes, even though we feel now like disciples fumbling around, Lord, following you, God, I know that the day is coming, Lord, where there will be an establishment of what you're doing in us, God. And every step of faith we take now, Lord, is building that in us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. And all of you said, amen. You can hear God. You are his sheep. You hear his voice. Now, be obedient to what you hear. Amen.